great to be with you. I nearly said this morning then, this evening. I was born on Shackley Council Estate in Tilsley, lived the first 20 years of my life. That put a lot of character in me, I can tell you. And then I became, got wonderfully born again at the age of 18. And that's when I met Eric. I think he was 4 years old at the time. No, he wasn't. And got married and worked. And I have a wonderful wife, Linda, who's a nurse. And four grown-up children, all married. And about eight grandchildren. You lose count after about six. It's usually my wife's here to correct me and pinpoint everything. You know, like women do, the months, the days, everything's got to be exact. So I've always had a heart in me since I got saved to share Jesus with other people. And we went to live in Salford, and God gave me the opportunity to minister there, and we saw a church grow there in inner city Eccles, Salford. And so we were there for 16 years, and then last year God opened it up and called us back into this area, back to our roots, if you like, because my wife's from Atherton, and I'm from Tills, as I've said. And so I'll tell you a little bit about what God is leading me to do in a few minutes' time. But a word that God's put on my heart for you wonderful people is that God wants us to have a rest in our souls, a peace within. Right, now, a few years ago, we were really blessed to go to America because we have friends there, so we only had to pay for the flights, and it was great. And when I was in America, I saw this banner, and I thought, I've definitely got to buy that banner. So here's the banner. It's really nice, isn't it? "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation in a quiet resting place." And I don't understand that verse to this day. Because that's not my life. I'm sorry. I know you all have nice, tranquil, peaceful circumstances. But I don't understand that. If I buy it, perhaps it'll start working for me. But it's not. But I have learned to have Jesus' rest in the midst of tribulation and trouble. My first son, Matthew, who's 37-ish now, when he was born with a great big hole in his heart, and he was dying, and they scheduled an emergency operation for him. But we really cried out to God, and the day he went in the day before the operation to do this test, where they put a dye up into his heart, they did the test, and we heard that, you know, the nurse and the doctor were going, "Whoa, what's happened here? The hole's virtually gone," because God had touched his heart, you know. So we've never been spared problems and tribulation, because we're not. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be encouraged, I'm in you." Jesus is in you, and he gives us his strength, doesn't he, to get through the problems. So I just want to share with you this verse from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden." And we are like this as Christians sometimes, aren't we? "And come to me, all you who labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But you know what? This rest is conditional. It's conditional. There's two things you've got to do, and if you don't do those two things, you will not have peace in your heart, because we have an enemy out here in the world, the devil, who will attack us and attack our minds, and he's a liar, and he'll accuse us, and we need to learn to defeat the enemy with truth, amen? The truth of God's word, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. but it's conditional, Jesus said, on two things. And the first is so simple you might miss it, where Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Not church, not leaders, not tablets, not drink, not TV, not retail therapy ladies. Jesus said, come to me. And that is so simple and yet so powerful, that when I'm going through horrible things or when I have turmoil in my life, I need to just go and shut the door of my room and get at the feet of Jesus. And that's the first thing. And we've got a lovely picture of that in the Bible in Luke chapter 11, verse 38. Which is where you've got two sisters. I'm sure you've heard of these two sisters. One's called Mary and one's called Martha. So in verse 38, have I got the right one? Have I got the right one though? I've lost it. Thank you. I was just waiting for that wonderful sister there to do that. Well done. Praise God. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. There's a woman coming to Jesus and sitting at his feet to hear what he has to say, to enjoy his gracious, loving attitude towards her. God's got that gracious, merciful, welcoming, loving, forgiving arms and welcome for us, hasn't he? And that's why we need to go to Jesus and receive what he wants to share with us and minister to us and give us every day. I don't know about you, I need Jesus, and I need his spirit, and I need his peace and strength every day. I'm a primary school teacher. I go and teach in some very difficult schools. I'm a supply teacher. And so many times I've just said, oh Lord, I need you today because I've got this really difficult class and really difficult lad. It's usually a lad, not a girl. But and God's just helped me and given me that peace and patience. And usually the boy responds to my encouragement and, you know, comfort. And God just really does help me. So Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, but Mary's sister, she didn't have peace in her heart. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Of course, we've never said things like that to each other, have we? Of course we have. Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. That's the priority, isn't it? The one thing. And Mary has chosen to do that good thing, to sit at my feet, so that she's centering on Jesus. She's centering her life on him. That's the simple answer, isn't it? That we all get distracted from. And the enemy of our souls, I believe his number one plan for me and you as Christians is to get us to stop sitting at Jesus' feet. Is that right? Make you so busy. You know, make you so tired. Put your favourite TV program on when you're just about to, whatever it is, you know. But let's not be defeated. Let's not be distracted from that simple thing. I think we need daily to find a time, whether it's morning, afternoon, whenever it is, to have a few minutes sitting at Jesus' feet. When Mary was receiving from Jesus, wasn't she? And that's our great privilege, isn't it? We can just come right into the presence of God. We're washed, we're forgiven. And we can receive his the ministry of his spirit in our hearts, peace, strength. We can hear him speaking to us through the word and straight into our hearts sometimes by the Holy Spirit. So that's the first condition. Jesus said, come to me. And the second thing is Jesus said, come to me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said, this is the second thing, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. That's the second thing. So this is not about getting a load of eggs and breaking them and eating the healthy yolks. It's not about that. What is a yoke? So I should have brought a picture of it really, shouldn't I? It's a wooden frame with two spaces, two holes in it for two cows or oxen to pull the plough through the field to break up that hard ground. Okay, so that's what a yoke is. Take my yoke upon you. So with a yoke, there's a strong ox in those days when they were used, perhaps in some parts of the world they're still used, and then there's the other animal, that usually the weaker ox. The strong ox, he's done it all a million times, he knows the right way, he knows the right way to go. But then you get these upstart young oxes who have to be broken in, thinks he knows it all, pulls this way, but the stronger ox will pull him the right way. What a great picture for us, that Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. I'm the strong, I'm the king, I've got all the wisdom, I love you, I know the way you need to go today, Monday, tomorrow. I know what's in store for you. He's God, isn't he? He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what you need, so you need to just come and let me lead you through the day. Be submitted to your Lord. Let him have his rightful place each day in our life. Take my yoke upon you. And I think, do you want to save yourself a truck full of strife and trouble? Because I do. You know, and I have been following the Lord for 40 years, and sometimes I've tried to pull Jesus my way and make him do things the way I want to do it. I am so stupid. I know you're not like that. But I think we do, don't we? We think we know better than God. I need to do it this way. And the Lord's saying, take my yoke upon you. It's this way. It's this way. Sometimes the Lord wants to take us a tough way. It's hard work pulling that plough, isn't it? And sometimes it is a way. For Jesus said, if you're my disciples, you need to take up your cross, deny yourself and go this way. But that's in God's love and wisdom for us, because it is the best way for us. It's the way that's going to build character in us and perseverance, and it's going to build up our faith as we face tough things that Jesus is leading us through, so that we can become stronger in our appreciation and trust of God's wonderful power and his wisdom and how he works everything out. So take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. So in other words, submit our life, our choices, our decisions to Jesus, because he's God and he knows best. And then he's leading our life. Do you know, it's so simple this, and yet we can be so strong-willed, you know, when we become a Christian. We can still think, I'm going to do this. But to be submitted and humble before the Lord and be saying, Lord, lead me through this day, and you know best, and you know what faces me. And then he can bring you into all that he has for you. What does it say the result will be there? You will find rest for your soul. And that's the test. And that's why, you know, I think I do kind of know a quiet resting place. It's got to be in here, hasn't it? It's not the circumstances. It's in here, just going with Jesus and finding that his Holy Spirit is giving me peace and strength for what I need. sometimes we think we know best and we don't. So a great example of this is, as I say, I pastored a church in Salford for 16 years and last year, and I've been praying and saying, Lord, what are you leading me to do, us to do, me and my wife? It's a together thing, of course. And so we'd been to Spain quite a few times, to this particular area of Spain called Gardamar. Anybody been? Gardamar, Torrevieja, south of Alicante. And we'd been about three or four times, and there's an English community of retired people there, and we got to know the people really well, and there was a great church there. And last year, I found out that they were looking for a pastor. Spain! Beach! Sun! No more rainy Manchester! And so I was very spiritual and started praying, Lord, this must be your will. Please let this be your will. Anyway, I applied for this pastorate, and the process went on, and I was talking to the pastor who was retiring, and he was going to meet me, and I was due to meet him in the next few days. He was coming across to England. And I found out later, by the way, that the letter had been written to offer me this pastorate. I'm going to cry in a minute. No. And this morning, I was praying and saying, Lord, have your way. And, you know, and the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart. You know what I was going to say, don't you? Stan, this is not you. Yes, it is, Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, you don't know what you're talking about, Lord. No. So it came, God's word comes peacefully, doesn't it? And I received it, and I kind of thought, yeah, it's not me. I wish it was, but it's not me. So I rang them up and said, I can't take this because the Lord spoke to me. And they were great. And we went back on holiday a few months later, and they've got the pastor in and another pastor. That's great. So where did that leave me? You know, I want to take Jesus' yoke upon me, and I want to go his way. And when we moved house back to Atherton last March, I started walking my dog. I don't really know Atherton, just a bit further back on the main road from the railway station. There's a few shops, but you go. My house is just there on, is it Bolton Road, that? What's it called? And so I walked across the road, and you go to Shackley Lane, which brings you down to my council estate where I lived. And I've been... When I moved back last March, I started walking my dog onto the estate. And by the way, a dog is the greatest undiscovered evangelistic tool you will ever meet. It's just, and I'm being serious here, because people just kept coming to me. Oh, what a cute little dog! And the same people day after day, and I'm getting friends with them and getting to share with them. One of them invited me to his house, and I walked in his house, and there was a big altar in the corner, and we're pagans. Help, Lord, what do I do? You know, but it was great. And at the end of the conversation, anyway, I'll leave that. So I started, of course, praying for the Shackley, for the people, and just had a real burden for them, and prayed that dangerous prayer, didn't I? Lord, send somebody to these people. And the Lord's going, right, yeah, okay, but you'll have to go and apply for this Spain job before you can hear me saying it's you. And when all that Spain thing fell through, the Lord just said, right, Stan, this is what I am calling you to do. It's Shackley Council. It's funny, isn't it, really? Shackley Council Estate, Spain, Torrevieja. But there's a peace in my heart. There's a joy. There's a fulfilment. Last night we did our first outreach event in the. There's a beautiful community centre in the middle of Shackley, and we did a concert. It was a just kind of I've got to know the committee of the community centre really well, and they let me know that financially the community centre is struggling and stuff. So I thought, what a great first impressions for Christians to do a concert to help them and raise funds for them. So we did a concert, and we just played great songs like Roy Orbison and the Beach Boys and stuff like that, and had a great night, and it was packed last night. It was packed. I couldn't believe it. We did the hard work, mind you. We put an invitation through every single door on the estate, and we had just had a great night. And there's one song, a Beach Boys song, called Sloop John B, and John Wilson, the drummer of Beach Boys, became an alcoholic and jumped into this water and died tragically because his heart was empty. So I thought, I'm going to write another verse for Sloop John B, as though John Wilson found the answer that he was looking for. And I was able to share that, because you've got to be wise sometimes. You don't just trundle, you know, rush in, do your sharing and stuff. And we had another guy there who was singing and sharing his testimony. So I would really ask you to pray for me and Linda and for the team of us who are on Shackley Estate, and as we take that thing forward. And so, just in finishing, I was so encouraged when the worship started. The first song, God does this so many times with me, with preaching, the first song confirmed the word. Which is brilliant, isn't it? Because the first song was about the foolish man and the wise man, wasn't it? And I'm just going to finish by just reading, just to consolidate that, taking his yoke, hearing what God says, making sure you're doing what the Lord says each day so you can have rest in your soul. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24 says, as you know. No, it doesn't. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says that. Doing this today, aren't I? Yeah. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's taking Jesus' yoke, isn't it? Daily. And the rain descended, the floods came, the trials come, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because Jesus, we're basing our founding our lives on Jesus, and we're receiving his strength for the day and his victory. It's great, isn't it? But it's kind of serious, isn't it? We've got to make sure we're doing that, because everyone who hears these sayings of Jesus and does not do them, doesn't take the yoke, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much, Lord, that you want to lead us through every day of our lives, Lord. And you want to lead us in strength and victory, and you want us to have that peace and rest in our souls. So thank you for just reminding us today, Lord, that we can take that wonderful yoke upon us of you leading us and directing us and keeping us and protecting us. But we do need to hear you, obey you, go your way. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful rest and peace and fulfillment that you give us as we follow you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.